Kim Laird.
Hey, Kim.
Hey, who's this?
This is Ken.
Hello, how are you, Ken?
I'm all right.
You surviving the long work days?
Oh, God. Barely.
Are we the only two here so far, I guess?
Yeah, I think so.
Holly's on.
Mike's here.
Hi, Holly.
Oh,
hi, Mike. You guys were being quiet.
Nobody to talk to yet.
So is everybody okay today?
Mostly.
How about you, Holly? How are things going?
I think I'm doing okay. Took a couple days off from work. That's always good.
Ooh. Mike, thank you for your report that Future Fest is awesome.
Sure.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, Tom.
Hey.
Hey.
I'm trying to catch up on email as we're waiting here. Are you back home now, Tom?
Sort of. I'm in Boulder now. I finally moved in like a week and a half ago. So I live here now instead of St. Louis.
Ooh.
Yeah, pretty exciting. So I'm off the road. That's what you mean.
Yeah, that's what I was getting at. Good.
Yeah, so I'm now just trying to find a job and all that stuff. So.
Did someone else just come in to the call?
This is Kevin McBeth.
Hi, Kevin.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi-ho.
We're waiting, I guess, on Anthony. I just was speaking to him about a half hour ago. Kevin Axel, are you here yet? Or Richard Kennison. We're waiting on three.
Hi, it's Marilyn.
Hi, Marilyn.
Thank you.
We're waiting on Anthony and Kevin Axtell and Richard Kennison at this point. So I'm going to give him another couple minutes. I know Anthony said he was going to be calling in.
Martin.
Hello, Martin. Hello, Martin.
Hi. Anthony.
Hello, Anthony.
Hello.
is here, Kim?
We have all of our board members, with the exception of Kevin Axtell and Richard Kennison. And Mike is on the call, and Marilyn, and Martin, and Holly.
Word.
And I may go and grab my other phone and see if Kevin forgot. And Richard. Ooh, I don't have Kevin's number on my phone. That's not good. All right. Well, let's move on. And we'll be able to get the minutes from the audio tape as well. But they will be written up. Okay, they already are to a certain extent. So I would like to call the meeting to order at, I have 8.06 p.m. Eastern Time. Roll call. Kim Laird is here. Anthony Shave?
Here.
Kevin Axtell is absent. Ken Farris?
Here.
Richard Kennison? Absent. Kevin Macbeth?
Here.
Tom Wall?
Here.
Brandy Slater, recording secretary, is absent. Also in attendance tonight is Marilyn Sullivan, Mike Sullivan, Holly Greeley, and Martin Frost. Did I get everyone? Okay. First, we need an approval of the agenda as it stands. Someone to make the motion for that approval.
I move we approve the agenda as it stands.
Okay. There may be additions along the way, but that sounds wonderful. Anyone opposed to the approval of the agenda? Anyone abstain? Okay. That passes. Approval of the minutes from our August 24th meeting. Anyone to make that motion for the approval of...
I move
of...
to approve those minutes.
Okay, that's you, Tom. I'm starting to learn voices. We need a second on that, please.
Second.
Okay, who is that again?
Ken, sorry.
Sorry, Ken. Yeah. I am learning voices, though. All right, seconded by Ken. Any corrections that need to be made on those minutes? As they were posted. If not, are there any objections to the approval of the minutes from August 24th? Any abstentions?
Sorry.
That's okay. If not, that passes by unanimous consent. All right, on to reports. CES 2010. Hello? Okay, didn't know whether that was somebody joining or leaving. The 2010 Fest, at this point, we still do not have a Fest director. But I have a call into Carter Brown to see if he might be interested. If you know of anyone, please either approach them or let me know and I'll call them. And we'll see if we can get somebody to do 2010. As far as future fests, Michael.
Yeah. Well, posted a report a few days ago, and since then we've confirmed our site visit for Rochester, Minnesota next week, and believe it or not, Rochester, New York the following week. I think that it's pretty solid that we will have a nearly irresistible offer from Rochester, Minnesota for 2011. However, there are other cities bidding for 2011, including a super good offer, as usual, from Winston-Salem. Springfield, Missouri, which we have not done a site visit and aren't planning one right now. Duluth, Minnesota, also for 2011, has put in a bid. I'm going to have a conference call with them tomorrow to discuss a few items. My concern with Duluth is that it is very far away, and it has a big lake to its east, which you cannot drive across. So it's a long way to get to, and it doesn't have great air connections. So those are the 2011 cities. We have four cities on the plate for 2012, including Rochester, New York, as I mentioned. Des Moines, Iowa is very interested. And we have submitted our proposal or our requirements to Orlando, Florida, and Austin, Texas, although I don't expect to get a good bid or a reasonable bid from either of those cities. For 2013, both Winston-Salem and Rochester, Minnesota have also put in that year, and they are offering to sweeten the pot for 2011. 2011 and 2013 at the same time. It's not a great incentive for signing both at once, so I don't think that that's something we really need to consider. We should consider each city on its strengths and decide whether we want to go east, west, midwest, back and forth, and so on. And finally, for 2014, we have Cedar Rapids, Iowa, but that's pretty far away to worry about. So really, my short-term goals are to try and get good recommendations to present to the board by next month for 2011. And again, my inclination is at this point that Rochester, Minnesota will be my recommendation, probably with Winston-Salem, North Carolina as a close second. And it would be up to the board to weigh the pros and cons of returning to Winston-Salem, where we know we can make money and where the facilities are very good, versus traveling back to the Midwest for Rochester, Minnesota, which has its own benefits and is also very financially attractive. So that's about it. I'd be happy to take any questions or anybody's inquiries about what's going on with Future Site.
It's encouraging to hear that people actually want us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll tell you what, Kim. It's not hard to find cities that want us. What's hard is to find cities that would work well for us.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm finding. And there's probably a good number of cities that have everything we want and are easy to get to, and those are the ones I'm trying to find.
Okay. Are there any questions for Mike? If not, Mike, thank you very much for the report. Very
okay,
helpful.
No problem.
Awesome.
You're welcome.
Store information. Kevin, do we have anything about the store going on?
We moved over to a new shopping cart system, which works pretty well now, but that's about it.
Is there any update as to the PayPal information?
Jim Maxwell.
Hello, Jim.
Hello.
Martin, you want to take the PayPal question?
The question is about the PayPal website payment. I answered that in email.
Okay. I didn't know whether you wanted to say anything more here about it, if there was any more.
I mean, I didn't speak to the board in that email, but basically PayPal said we had to open a new account in order to use that. New business account. I have to figure out why that, what that means, if we can open a new account and not have to do both jump through hoops to use the account or the old account to the new account. Anyway, that's stuff that needs to be looked into, and I'm going to call people.
Okay. Thank you, Martin. All righty. Finances. Kevin and Holly.
Okay, so I've got preliminary budgets for 2010 for both the festival and the organization posted on the board forum. So what the basic plan here is, I've got the basic ones up there. with a few points that we need to talk about, either maybe not during this meeting, but over the course of the next month. And then the hope is to approve both budgets at the next meeting. And if we can't approve them by then we'll still have a month or two left to approve it before the year ends.
Okay.
Has there been any discussion at all on the board forum about the budget?
Very little so far.
Okay.
Yeah.
But the
go ahead, Kevin. I'm sorry.
Oh, the things we need to discuss about the big things we need to discuss about the budgets are expected attendance at next year's festival, membership drives we'll be doing because I think we have one set up for next year, fundraising initiatives for next year. Video production plans, and the magazine contract, because all of those will substantially affect the budget.
Okay, good. Does anybody have any questions for me about this preliminary budget and any of the assumptions in there? I made some notes on the side where I could, but I'm happy to answer any questions if there are any.
In the operating budget, Holly, are you talking about?
Basically five budgets, any of them, I'd be happy to field questions if there are any. And not necessarily now, but
okay.
Always fine for me, but if you want to email me later, that's fine too.
All right. I did have a question about the preliminary 2010 FEST budget. And I realize it is preliminary and just done based on prior numbers. But you have a facilities cost included in there. I want to say it was $35,000, but I'm just getting it up now in front of me.
$35,000.
Which, according to the contract, it shouldn't be that. I know there are always last-minute things.
There were two things that made me decide to put something in there, and again, this is just the starting point, but one was that we have a minimum room night charge that we have to meet in order not to have a facilities cost, and I don't know what it costs us if we don't meet those minimum room nights, but I think it sounds as though there's a fairly high likelihood that we won't, so there would be some cost associated with that. And then also it was my understanding that there was no theater included in the contract and we were going to have to rent a theater. So that would also go into the facilities cost.
Mike, correct? Mike, are you still on the call?
Yes, Holly. Since the last meeting where I mentioned that, I found a different version of the contract with all of the pages scanned in, and in fact we do have the theater, which is their show lounge. So as long as we just can use that for all of the ticketed shows and competitions, then I think a theater is included in what we have on contract with the hotel.
Okay. So if, Mike, I haven't read the contract carefully, but if we don't make the minimum room nights, then what is the cost of the facility? In other words, what's the worst-case scenario?
I don't think they ever mention a figure for renting any of that space. The only thing that I think is stipulated in the contract is what our liability would be for not meeting the room night minimum, and that is the difference between 80% of our contracted room nights and what we actually attain times $103 a night for the expected revenue.
Okay. Okay, so I just need to put together some estimates of what that might be based on prior year's attendance and room nights. So I guess.
Yeah, while we're talking, I'm going to try and find anywhere that they mention what the rental would be or what our liability would be if we don't make it for the room nights. I don't think there is any rental for the facility itself.
Okay,
no, I don't.
There would be, all right, so this would go under housing then instead of under facility, I guess. But in any case, we just need to arrive at, I think, at a worst-case scenario number to put into the budget.
Okay.
But that's great. If it sounds like it's considerably less than $35,000, so that's great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've got the budget out now, Holly, and I'm not finding anywhere where they even mention prices for the facility rental, and the only thing that is stipulated is the guarantee room night pickup and what our liability is on those.
Okay, and what is the room guarantee going to end up being? Have we reduced it a second time, or are we going to reduce it a second time?
I think we will, and we need to do that in January. We've already exercised our first option to reduce it from $1,125 by 10%. So we've already brought that down, and let me see, I have that here. So we're at about 980 or so room nights now, and we can reduce that another 10%, so somewhere around 895 or so room nights that we would be on the hook for.
So we have the option of two 10% reductions?
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Here it is now. I've got it in front of me. We've got the confirmed letter from them cutting our room night by the first 10% block, and we can exercise the second option before the end of January.
Okay, and you said that gets us to how many room nights, 800?
Well, let's see. If we figure 1125 minus 10% minus 10%, let me do that real quick.
All right.
That's what I get, too. So that's what we'd be on the hook for. The difference between that and 80% of 9/11 is our exposure. I mean, the difference between what we attain and 9/11 times $103 a night.
Okay. So whatever our estimate is times 103. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Got it. All right. So I'll revise that number and send out a new draft of this.
Okay, that actually works in favor of us, I guess, so that's a good thing.
Yes,
okay. Anything else on finances, Kevin or Holly? All right, please, if any of the board members have questions about the budgets, please ask before we go to approve them so that discussion can take place and we can make changes if necessary. It's really important for the organization. Okay, magazine, Anthony.
Okay, basically Kim posted that we had a conversation with Alan Howard, and it was pretty fruitful in the sense that, you know, there were some minor things that Holly had suggested to make our lives easier and his life easier with no really overall change in the cost, such as the where does ad revenue go? Now, Alan has agreed to take all ad revenue, and in exchange he would drop some of his costs, for example, for miscellaneous supplies or expenses. Other than that, we were told by the graphic arts class that Kim was talking to that they were not interested in working with us in for the purpose for the reason of the schedule. They have the summers off, and we would need them to be working during the summer. We did receive an additional offer from Catherine Fernie, or Catherine Howard now, and she offered to do editing or layout for at the cost of $25,000 per year. And basically, if she just does editing or layout, that would mean we would still need Alan Howard to do much of what he does, and as such would actually increase our cost. So it's really not a viable solution. We do also have another applicant for the layout and arts person, and they quoted us a student, a recent graduate, and she quoted us a price that is about half what we pay now. So it's not 100% savings like the graphic art school would be, but still about 50%. Currently, we're working on the wording, or I'm working on the wording for the new contract to incorporate some of the changes that we've already discussed. And hopefully I'll have a preliminary version of that ready by the end of this week. The I noticed there was a conversation about wording on the wording of the tiered system, as far as getting rid of the wording tiered system. So the idea that Kim and I threw back and forth, and I believe she threw back and forth with a few others, is that we call the digital version the base case, and that is what you get when you pay for your membership fee, and then we offer the print version as an additional fee subscription, either in the store or we can work out the details on that, and then that falls under a member benefit, or falls under a different category, so we don't have to actually change the bylaws. As it stands right now, the other thing about that would be, we would assume that we can, because we are calling the digital version the base case, our increase in dues would actually be fairly small, and then we would have to make an assumption on the percentage of people that we expect to take the print version, and based on that assumption, we would then set the price of the additional subscription such that we would cover our cost of the bookkeeper plus the cost of the magazine contract. Right now, if I assume a 10% drop in membership based on a price increase, which is probably a fair assumption, the dues would increase by anywhere from $5 to $10, and then the magazine would make the magazine subscription would be the difference between $55 and whatever the dues are, if that makes sense. Does everyone get that last point?
Yeah.
Okay.
I would like to interject, Anthony, that Alan has found a printer who his printing costs are comparable to what we're paying now. However, the company, if you order print magazines from them, does the digital copy and distribution of digital copy free of charge. So the company, Anthony, had found it would be a $300 charge per issue. Is that correct, Anthony?
Yeah, $299.
Okay, $299 per issue.
Yeah.
If Alan goes with this printer that he found, the digital would actually not cost us anything as far as a distribution cost.
The other thing Alan also did, during our last meeting with Alan, we kind of had breached the subject of trying to save money and asking him to take a cut on his salary. And the way I framed it was, if there's anything we can do alternatively that could help you, that would allow you to take a cut, what would that be? And he came back and said if we could pay for his week at the festival in terms of hotel bill, then we would then he would take a 5% hit on his salary. And looking at the numbers, I think it would only save us about $500, and my guess is it's probably not worth the hassle.
Well, what he actually had said is if we could give him one of the comped rooms, because we do get a certain amount of comped rooms depending on how many booked room nights we have at the fest. So he asked if he could use one of those comped rooms rather than having to pay a hotel bill.
Okay. Now that changes it a little bit.
I'm sorry, I didn't make that clear earlier when we talked.
No,
I'm sorry.
That's okay. So we would have to look at that, though, on a case-by-case basis. So.
Right.
We use those comp rooms otherwise, if we give away a comp room, we're going to have to buy a non-comp room. So they're actually worth money.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm not sure how they work.
That is if we have uses for all of the comp rooms. For example, this year we earned more comps than we used. So we actually got paid back for some of them.
But they're still worth money in that situation then, because we got paid back for them. Correct?
Yes. Yes, but we wouldn't have paid anything for them to use them either.
Right. Okay.
But they're still worth money, as he says. You got the money, and if you hadn't used, if you'd given the comp room to Ellen, let's say, we wouldn't have gotten the money. So effectively, we were paid for the room. Now, if we save some money, and Ellen saves some money because this is an expense or something that he doesn't have to deal with, then maybe it's worth it. But only if we actually save something on it to break even, then it's questionable.
Well, just as an example, comped rooms, we earn at the rate of 1 to 50 or 1 to 45, depending on which facility we're talking about. Winston-Salem was 1 to 45. So the way to look at that is for every $4,500 in hotel revenue we bring in, they give us $100 in free rooms. And if Alan wanted to use five of those room nights, you know, that's either $500 that the IJA wouldn't get back or would, like Martin says, have to pay to put somebody else in. The other thing is some of the facilities offer us free rooms as a incentive to sign the contract with them, and that's where most of our VIP guests stayed in Winston-Salem this year. We put almost all of our special guests in the rooms that didn't cost us a thing that we got from the hotel just for holding the convention in Winston-Salem.
And they weren't part of the comped room agreement?
Most of them weren't. For example, Michael Sherrick and all of Team RDL, plus Dan Holtzman and myself, all stayed in rooms that were given to us free by the city or by the facility just for holding the convention there.
Okay.
And then we earned additional comp room nights, which we used for other guests.
Okay.
Yeah, and regardless of the monetary value, it's still a commodity, and what's more is that I think if we give away a room or promise away a room, then that basically just takes something from the festival director that he would have at his disposal to use, you know, in throwing the festival.
Right. Yeah, I agree, and I think that's a good argument in favor of not guaranteeing Alan a comped room.
Okay.
So I hear that right, that we're pretty much agreed that it's not probably not worth it?
For the amount that 5% off of his salary is, hearing the arguments now, I could see where it wouldn't be worth the hassle.
What is 5%? Please don't refer to it as salary. He's not salaried. But please tell us what the 5% is in dollars.
And it's a subtle thing, because if he's talking about 5% of the contract price, that's one thing, or 5% of what he makes himself, that's another thing.
Right.
That's another thing that I'd have to have clarified. But anyway, 5% of what he makes himself is only $500, and 5% of the full salary would be, our full contract would be 5% of like $60,000, which is $3,000.
But I suspect he's talking about 5% of the 10,000, so that's the 500. So it would be about a wash.
Yeah, that's what I thought as well.
Which is, of course, why he's willing to do it.
Exactly.
Okay, do we have anything more on the magazine at this time?
I had nothing else.
Working. You have nothing else, Anthony?
I have nothing else that I had planned on talking about. We're kind of in crunch time. I guess the biggest thing that we're going to need from the board and, you know, potentially Holly is just as far as finalizing what our subscription price for the printed magazine should be. As long as everyone agrees with the approach of putting the digital as the base version and then saying people can buy a yearly subscription for X dollars, as long as people agree with that approach, I don't think there should be any issues going forward.
Well, one thing is we've never sold subscriptions to Juggle before. The only way to get it was to be a member. Is that
right.
Changing now? Can you buy just a subscription to the magazine?
Hadn't thought of that. Maybe it's something we should. No, I would like
personally,
to avoid
I would
that.
Say no.
I would like to avoid that because here's the. It's not really a secret, but we have a difference in price and the subscription will cost more. But in reality, we want people to buy the print version.
By itself, without being
no. No,
okay.
No. All right. Based on the financial analysis that I did, again, I'm not a financial expert, but based on the analysis I did, if we take like a 30% switch in members to the digital version, we still, I mean, it really, the majority of our income is based on what people pay for the print version.
It would still be all linked to membership. They would still need to be a member in order to purchase a subscription to Juggle Magazine.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
I know Marilyn wanted to ask about the mechanics of doing the digital distribution. Who's going to handle that and what's to keep someone from sending that on to 1,000 friends or posting it on the Internet or something like that?
I can get more details on that. The company that I was talking to, they handle all the distribution themselves, and I can ask them about their security.
Yeah.
But the and then the one that Alan was talking to, they might have a different method. I'm not sure, but
This is Marilyn. I wasn't so much worried about passing it on to 1,000 people that they have the content now, but. I'm thinking about it from the chief teller point of view in that they need, when the election ballot is in the magazine, they have to send that in if they want to mail it in with their access code. And will each individual member get their access code in the magazine? So that was the only form of distribution of that access code.
Okay. I think this is something we'll need to talk about, but I don't think it's something that we can't overcome. Is that agreed?
Yeah. Actually, I just had one question. If, let's say, tomorrow we tell the membership that they're all going to get a digital magazine instead of a printed one, you're relying
yep.
on all of those people that want a printed magazine to get onto the store and order a subscription before the next magazine comes out. Would that be right? I don't think that's going to happen.
No, I personally would like to see us give the membership enough lead time that it wouldn't just be a sudden switch.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, whatever we do,
I'd like to give
the changeover should be announced in the next issue. Which, it'll tell them this is your final paper issue unless you take action.
Right. I'd actually like to give them two issues before
yeah.
the change actually happens so that we can give them warning in one and in the second one say this could be your last paper issue. Your
yeah,
last
I
print
still
issue.
I still don't think you're going to get a lot of people to pay for it. So they'll go for the free one.
Really?
That's my own personal feeling, yeah.
I think the complete opposite. I think that as long as the price isn't, drastically higher, if it's like $15, I can't imagine anyone saying, oh, I don't have $15 over the course of the next year to spare on this.
My only thought is that it's already paid for it. What am I getting for my $35 if I'm not getting the magazine?
But you'd be getting the digital magazine then as well as
you
know, the the possibility of the insurance and whatnot.
Yeah.
Could we just have it roll over when each subscription gets renewed?
When the membership gets renewed.
Right. So whenever your membership expires, that's when your paper copies end, and then you have to choose when you renew what you want to go with.
Oh, that'd be
I think it's manageable from a like a data back end standpoint.
Not really.
No.
It might be a decent way to do it, but some people would get a few years worth of magazines as a result.
That's true.
Because of people that have purchased multiple-year memberships?
Right. We have numerous that are out to 2010 and 11 and 12 and beyond.
And how many is that?
Oh, I don't know. I can get your number real quick.
Okay.
Is the content going to be the same in the print version and the digital version?
What was the question?
The beginning of that, Holly.
Is the content going to be the same in both the digital and print versions?
It has to be.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I agree with Marilyn that I don't think you're going to get very many people buying the print version if the content's all the same.
I mean, the first thing is people will be lazy and not do anything. So that means they, by default, they lose the print version. And then they have to figure out how to do something they've never done before, which is subscribe to the magazine, the print version, which some people will do. Others, you know, won't go to the trouble.
And then what is the incentive since, you know, if we go to a print version by subscription, what is the incentive to limiting that to membership? Why not just open that up and let anybody who wants to pay what it would cost to pay that price and get the print magazine, whether they're a member or not?
Well
because the cost of the magazine is actually the cost of the digital version plus the cost of the subscription. It's not just the subscription.
I think the answer to that is that we would simply charge more for non-members to get the magazine, and so it would be, you know, effectively about the same. Maybe we would charge $50 for the magazine or $45, you know, something.
We currently do on the store. I have the Juggle magazine up here right now. It's $9 if you're a member per issue and $11 if you're a non-member. So we're already selling to non-members.
Right. Yeah. We have it all set up to sell magazines for non and other things to non-members. So charging a different amount isn't difficult. But, you know, I don't know if we wouldn't be – I don't think it matters a whole lot there. I would certainly not see a problem offering it as long as we could maintain that information in the database. That is to say, non-member subscriptions in the database.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the only reason the database exists now is for membership. If we're going to start selling the magazines retail to people who aren't members, I think that's a new database or a great deal of extra administrative overhead for our two membership directors to handle.
Exactly.
We just trust enough that it makes it worthwhile to become a member.
Well, I think the answer is to price magazines so high that you'd be an idiot to buy just the magazine and not be a member. Make it financially ridiculous for them to just buy the magazine. And if you're a member for $35 and you get the magazine, then, you know, if you want to buy the magazine and you're a non-member, they're $50 each. Everyone would look at that and say, well, heck, I'll just be a member.
Right.
And that's what we want.
Exactly.
Right. As it is now, we're selling back issues for only $11 per issue to non-members, which means if they, well, if they buy all four, they're paying $44 for the year.
By the way, there's 118 people that renewed that were more than a year, that expire more than a year from now, some out to 2014 and beyond.
Okay.
Thanks, Marilyn.
Yes, thank you. We have a lot of discussion that needs to take place on this magazine topic yet, so that we do what's best for the organization, not just, well, for our members as well as for our volunteers that are in positions. So we have some thinking to do. What I'm hearing here now is, and I'm sorry I'm going to say that, this, Anthony, but what I'm hearing is that maybe digital isn't the thing to do. Or if it is, we need to find a way to do it so it's not cumbersome.
Well, not only that, I mean, really, honesty in the forefront here, I was basing most of my assumptions on the fact that I didn't think too many people would get the digital because the printed price is not going to be that much higher. So if that's not really accurate, then the only solution is to not do digital at all or do a 100% digital. Because if the digital is going to undermine the sales of the print version, then we can't have it because we're depending on the adult price to break even. And the adult price needs to go up significantly for that to happen. So if we're not willing to accept a significant or fairly significant jump in dues, we might as well say goodbye to the magazine. And not to be a doomsayer, because I'm not trying to be negative, but that's just the reality of it. The magazine costs us $58,000 a year. We got to cover that somehow, otherwise we're out of cash. So it's either, I got to start hearing people speak up, because if the solution is we're not going to make our membership price high enough to cover our expenses, then there's no reason to continue talking with Alan Howard. And I also refuse to rely on the festival, which is a question mark year to year.
You know, the interesting thing is, though, that we have always relied on the festival. This is not new. I mean, the magazine, or the dues have never paid for the cost of the magazine, except when we had volunteers putting together the magazine. But since we've been paying for professional services for the magazine, the festival has always subsidized it. Not new.
Fair enough. So you're saying that's going to continue?
I don't think it's a bad idea.
All right, then tell me what to assume is our festival profit in 2010 so we can set the prices.
Well, it's hard to do without a festival director because it's awfully hard to put together any sort of estimate of what's going to happen.
My guess is it's not going to be a profit next year. The way things are looking, how can we conclude, or how can we predict a profit?
Let's assume all we do is break even next year.
Okay.
I would have to think that we would make a good deal of money in 2011 with the terms that were being offered in Rochester, for example.
Okay.
And we did make about $35,000 this year. I don't know if that just paid bills that we already had to pay or if we actually were able to bank some of that. But I think realistically, we should just count on 2010 festival being break even on its own terms and not counting on it to subsidize anything else in the IJA, but then use it as a bridge year to 2011 when we can return to profitability on the festival.
But in the meantime, we're still paying for a magazine in that year.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And also,
that's why we need to have some savings.
Jim or Marilyn, how many magazines are actually being mailed out? I don't have the figure in front of me.
Hold on. It is roughly 1447.
Right. There are a handful of those that we don't have mailing addresses for, but it's about 1400.
Okay.
When I ran the labels for the juggle that's going out now, there was 1,567 mailing labels generated.
Okay, well, so, let me make sure. If you take the cost of the magazine per year at $58,500 and divide it even by 1,400.
But that includes life members who aren't paying.
Yeah, no, you can't do that.
That's true, yeah. I'm sorry. I keep forgetting about the life members.
Well, actually, go ahead. What do you get when you do that?
$41.79 a person, magazine. $41.79.
Okay, so
for the year.
Just to put things in perspective, right now we're taking zero from the life member fund. Part of my recommendation is to up that to some reasonable level. And second, then if you're only considering $58,500, you're not really considering anywhere else how we're going to cover the cost of the bookkeeper.
Right, but it was my suggestion last year that not all, but part of the bookkeeper's salary be attached to the fest, because a lot of her work comes in doing festival work.
That's fine with me. I mean, it's really just cooking the books, or not cooking the books, but changing money from one place to the other. Do you want me to consider the bookkeeper's fee in my calculations or not? I can do it either way, and I'm willing to do it either way.
Money, whether you charge it to the festival or the magazine or whatever. So if you charge it to the festival, then we have to have the festival make even more money to cover the excess for the magazine and so forth. It
right.
Doesn't save us any money.
Right. It's That's my point.
Okay. Any comments from anyone else?
I go back to my original idea that it's untenable for the IJA to stay in the magazine publishing business, and we need to become a publishing organization.
Is everyone else getting an echo?
Yeah, I am.
I was.
Okay, it just went away. Okay, cool. Can you repeat that, please? I'm sorry.
Yes.
I was just saying that I go back to my original thesis that it's not really tenable for the IJA to stay in the magazine publishing business. If Alan Howard wants to continue publishing Juggle Magazine and manage the subscriptions on his own, then it's his for-profit endeavor. But it's really beyond the scope of what the IJA can't afford at this point.
I disagree, in the sense that, you know, let me just take today's membership numbers as they are, and assume I take $10 a year from each life member, keep the family add-on price the same. If I make the price of membership between $45 and $50 for an adult, we cover the cost of the magazine, without the bookkeeper. Now I just took the bookkeeper out.
Mm-hmm. Now you're talking about a print magazine and not
no more digital. Yeah, no more digital. Just the print magazine. I mean, jumping. What are our dues now? 35.
35. Yeah.
Going from 35 to 50, is that going to kill us? I mean, honestly.
But then you're also starting to deplete the life member fund.
Is that going
to
kill us?
Use the life member fund, not necessarily deplete it.
Right.
I think $50 dues would be quite reasonable. I don't think there should be anything less.
Same here.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I'd rather raise dues. I'm afraid of doing away with an official publication, or Juggle Magazine, I should specify, because we would have to have an official publication of some sort. Otherwise, we have very little member benefit. So,
okay, but then consider, you know, what happens when the membership numbers continue to drop.
I understand where you're coming from, Jim. I do, and I go back and forth on this all the time. That's part of the reason why Alan and I've been working on this, as well as Anthony. We're trying to find printers that will give us good rates at lower prices, at lower numbers. So we're not having to purchase 2,000 magazines and have 500 of them sitting in storage. So we're trying to cut costs that way so that we don't have so much just sitting. And if we can do that, I think we can keep a print magazine. And we're coming close. We're coming really close. Alan has found a few places that will do as small a run as 1,000 and up it by 500 increments. So we're getting close on that.
Now, the other thing I'll say is, I think we have a pretty decent group of people here who are pretty cooperative and also pretty enthusiastic. And there's nothing that says that the membership numbers will continue to go down. You know, there could be a reversal. And if we can cover costs on a short 2-year contract, you know, I'm not going to be on the board of directors in 4 years, but I'll be willing to come back to renegotiate another juggle contract for you guys if you want. You know, you're right. Eventually there might come a time when we just have to cut ties with the magazine. In my opinion, that's not necessarily today. We could probably survive, and not survive is the wrong word. We can safely make it another couple years, but we have to raise the dues. That's the caveat.
Hey, Anthony.
Yes.
How long is the contract?
The current one was 2 years.
No, okay. Current one was 3.
Oh, thank you. But we can make it whatever we want. What we had suggested to Alan was making the new one 3 years with the option of renegotiation every year, but you don't have to take the option.
Okay.
Does that sound like a decent plan to do that? Anthony and I thought it was a decent plan to make sure the contract could be open each year for negotiation, but it's an option. It does not need to be exercised.
So now, by negotiation, you just mean negotiation and no cancellation?
Our original thought was negotiation as far as numbers.
Yeah.
Okay. Because if you compare against the 2010 operating budget that's posted, which I think is a little bit more negative than we're expecting, as well as where we are in terms of cash. We should be careful about signing really long magazine contracts with declining membership.
That's fair.
Just want to put that out there.
The only thing I don't like about at least going 2 years is that it's just a lot of work for whoever the individual is that has to keep working on the new contract.
Right. I agree with that.
Yeah.
And Alan was willing to go 2 years. In fact, he sounded kind of okay with renegotiating the whole contract after 1 year.
Yeah.
So he's open to that if you think we should go for a shorter term.
But he brings up that's a good point, though, Kim. You know, maybe we need to talk to Alan about adding a cancellation clause of some sort.
Okay, there's one currently in there, but it would need to be changed.
Yeah, it's not very good for us.
Yeah, exactly. So if he would be agreeable to cancellation, you know, for specific reasons on our part, and we can, you know, for declining membership, continuing declining membership or something, then I think we'd be okay.
Okay.
And although I'm more in favor of going for a 2-year contract, if the rest of the board feels that we should just try and get a 1-year contract and see how membership numbers go over the next year, I'm willing to support that as well.
Hey, Kim?
Yep.
since we have a big membership drive planned for next year, I would say aim for 1 or 2 year contracts so we can see how that pans out, and then decide after that. Because if we do a big membership drive and it doesn't really boost much, then we probably don't want to be stuck in a 3 or longer year contract.
True. Yeah.
But if the drive goes well, then hey, we're in good shape.
Yeah, that's fine. We can go for that. At least I can. Are you okay with that, Anthony?
Yeah, I'm fine. That's fine with me.
Okay. So we'll see if maybe Alan is willing to just do a 1 year contract. Let's see how things go this year. And if we need to extend it, we can always put an extension clause in instead of a cancellation clause.
Yeah, that's probably better for us, and he'd probably be willing to accept that.
Yeah. Okay. Any other discussion, question?
Oh, Anthony?
Yes.
If you want some help with running some numbers, just let me know, and I'll spare some time for that.
Well, to be honest with you, the spreadsheet I have set up is pretty good, in my opinion. If you want to look at the spreadsheet to make sure all of my assumptions are correct, other than that, I can help you and show you what I did. But I noticed Don Lewis has had some issues with my spreadsheet being not comprehensible, even though I sent a set of instructions along with it. So if anyone has any issue understanding what I did, I'm willing to help them through it.
Okay, I'll email you.
Yep. Email me at my work address, please.
Okay.
Okay.
And what I'll do is I'll email you from there, and that way you'll have it.
Thanks, Anthony.
Yep.
Okay, anything else? Okay, thank you, Anthony. Membership. Jim and Marilyn. Whoever wants to give membership numbers or membership report?
Okay. I ran those numbers. Hold on.
Okay.
Let's see. The current number of records for memberships is 1,439 with a total of 1,774 members. Of course, that includes family members. Lifetime was at 289 with a total of 361 members, 80 youth, and 227 families with 561 members included. I guess that's it. I did run some numbers. I asked Kim if we could consider going digital on our membership cards. Because we spend about $400 a year on postage, sending post membership cards. Of course, the most expensive, we're going to Europe or Asia. It's almost a dollar to send a postcard now. And I did get my FileMaker Pro from Martin. Thank you very much. And I guess that's
it. Is it not the case that we only send postcards to people that we don't have email addresses for?
No, we send them to everyone.
Everybody.
We send
them to membership cards, Jim.
Not renewal cards.
Renewal cards is what I meant, yeah.
No, membership cards go to
right.
Everyone.
I was confused, sorry.
Yeah. I personally like the idea of just emailing the membership cards, but it would save us some money. Would save us printing costs, I'm sure.
I like the idea, too.
I know the kids would like one, and I've had a request from families that generally only get one card. They say, well, could you please send me two, because my son Matt wants one that has his name on it or whatever. So I can understand that, or even a gift membership would be nice to get a card. But otherwise, I don't think the adults care.
Okay.
I
don't believe this is something that would need to go to a vote. Does anyone else think otherwise? I mean, it makes sense to me. So is anyone opposed to just sending out PDF electronic membership cards?
Jim, do you have an opinion?
No, I mean, I think that's a good idea. It would definitely cut cost and time.
Mm-hmm. And I think it'd be very easy for my technical support team that's sitting in the other room to create a script for us that would just be PDF and off it would go.
Tom, Ken, any input?
No? Yeah, this is Tom. Well, I think that it's a good idea in terms that it'll save some money. I definitely think that once we have more, I guess, money that we could possibly throw into a membership card, getting like a nicer laminated or even a plastic one, that would add some more legitimacy to the organization as a whole. Yeah. I think the ones that we have right now, just like, you know, printed on an inkjet printer or whatever, they look kind of rinky-dink in a lot of ways. Like people that have seen, like, you know, the flood that happened at the camp where I was, well, my wallet got really wet and that had my card in it. And basically it's just like a little white slip of paper with a little rainbow streak across it now because that's so wet. And, you know, somebody, you know, saw my wallet and they wanted to see my card. And I was like, well, you know, this is it. And this is IJA. And it's sort of our faith for a lot of non-jugglers. And I think that if we had the means to make a nicer one at some point, I think that would be a very valuable thing to do for our organization.
I saw that in your report, Tom, and I do agree.
Yeah.
So you want the opposite.
I would agree if we didn't have the magazine cost.
Yeah.
To me, the magazine right now is sucking up all of our legitimacy.
We do not have any more legitimacy to spare.
Yeah. Exactly. And I mean, I agree that the magazine is, you know, it's definitely way more important than a membership card is. You know, I mean, that's really no question there, at least in my mind. But when you think about the number of non-jugglers or potential IJA members, they're going to run into the business, or, you know, like the membership card more often than they are the print magazine. So if you're thinking about, you know, what part of our face we're going to make look nicer, in the end it would be great if we could have a nicer card. So
how do you figure that they're going to run into the membership card more than the magazine?
Because how many people, like jugglers, carry their magazines with them on their person? I know a lot of IJA members that have their membership card in their pocket. And, you know, if the IJA comes up in discussion, they're more likely to pull out, you know, their membership card than they are going to be pulling out the magazine.
I've been an IJA member for 20 years. I've never been asked to show my card.
Well, I mean, I've never been asked to show my card, but I've definitely shown my card, you know, over the course of the past year, probably to 20 or 30 different people. So.
Anybody else who has shown their card to anybody?
Yeah. Hey, Tom?
I showed the magazine a lot.
Hey, Tom?
I've laminated it myself, so.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you get an electronic copy, you can do whatever you want with it. Make it nice.
Hey, Tom?
Yes?
Sorry, I'm going to disagree with you. I keep my magazine set out on my desk at work, but I don't have a membership card displayed.
I got you, yeah. Yeah, so, I don't know, and I think that also, you know, if we had a nicer card, people would probably be more likely to keep it, you know, on their person, too. Maybe I'm a minority in this, but that's the way I see it, at least. So.
Okay. Marilyn and Jim, I see no reason why you can't go ahead with this and just convert over. I don't see a reason for a vote on this at all. Ken, do you have any thoughts?
No, I'm fine with it. I mean, like I said, I'll laminate the one that we have now currently. I can print it out and laminate it and make it all pretty.
Yeah,
maybe.
We would still need to send membership cards to people for whom we do not have an email address.
Correct.
Yeah. I was thinking that and the gifts and, yeah, the gift memberships and those without an email.
Yeah, and for that matter, I mean, even the welcome letter could be sent electronically if we get the email address.
Yeah, and I'm already doing that ones that come in the store to get an electronic welcome letter. And then I follow that up with the postcard.
Okay, that sounds good, gang. So go ahead and move on that, however you need to set it up. It sounds like you guys, Marilyn and Jim, that you can work this out between yourselves, but feel free to go electronic as much as you can.
Excellent. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Anything else from membership? Okay, if not, video, Ken, I know you said you had really nothing to report. You've been busy at work.
Yeah.
Which is fine. If you don't mind me throwing this out there, I just purchased a personal copy of Final Cut Pro so that Rob and I can begin editing the Planting the Juggling Seed show like we had talked about in Winston-Salem. It will have IJA contact information on it, how to sign up as a member, things like that, as well as like a little blurb, advertisement type thing. But we got questions about this at the Juggling Seed show that people from the public actually wanted to buy copies. I have checked with all of the performers. They have given their permission. I just have to dub in basically royalty-free music. So I'm hoping that that will be ready to roll by the end of October, beginning of November.
Sounds cool.
It won't bring in a ton of money to the IJA, but Rob and I are not planning on, we'll take care of postage to mail, everything. We'll take care of all that. So the IJA will profit 100% off of them.
Great.
Questions?
That's great, Kim.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
It's also good for Rush sales at the next IJA festival.
Right. Right. And I'm just figuring it can really help to promote what we do.
Yeah, that'd be a great idea.
Oh. Kevin is not here to talk about the education project. So, Tom, anything on marketing and promotions?
Yeah, I actually have a whole bunch to talk about, which is pretty exciting because I've been talking to a lot of vendors about this potential discount program.
Mm-hmm.
And right now we have got I've heard back from how many people? I've heard back from six people, five of whom are really on board with it. And those six people, or five people rather, those include Todd Smith, Neon Husky, Flying Flipper, and Cheryl Sayers for Sport Co.
Awesome.
And I've been talking to Cheryl more than anyone else about this. I feel like she's got a pretty good grasp on a lot of this stuff. And instead of a year-round discount program, what we've been talking about is sort of an isolated 3 days a year in which a discount would be offered to IJ members exclusively. And the cool thing about that is that we can pin one of those days onto World Juggling Day and sort of turn that into a bigger event for us, which I think that's pretty cool. And I sent an email out to a bunch of people, and I made it really clear that I'm only researching this stuff, and that all this stuff is open to discussion, and hopefully we'll be able to actually send out a real proposal sometime in the near future. I guess the reciprocity that I was talking about with them is a possible break in ad space in a digital version of the magazine, free advertising in the e-newsletter, like we talked about in the last meeting, possible breaks in festival vending, which turned out to be one of the biggest things that people were interested in, was the break in that. Like Neon Husky especially thought that was a very good idea. Free advertising on our website and the possibility of them doing a naming sponsorship for some sort of a show or event. And Neon Husky had a lot to say about that one, too. Yeah, so
cool.
I guess that's the long and short of it. I'd like to have more of a tangible thing that I can email to people like Dubay, Dubay and JugglingStore.com and like that. so we can actually get an offer and really get this off the ground. Because I think that at the moment, as it stands, the people that I've heard back from, you know, they're really interested and they want to get something started up, you know, sooner rather than later.
When you talk to them about a price break as far as vending at the fest, did you talk numbers with them at all, or?
I did not. No, I said that it would be possible that we might be able to offer them some sort of break in the price of vending.
Okay.
So this is all really conditional, and I haven't talked numbers about any of this stuff at all. Yeah, and one of the concerns, I guess Neon Husky sent me the longest response just from the initial email. Basically, everybody, including Neon Husky, they agree that a year-round perk would be better in terms of what we could offer the membership, but it's impractical for most vendors, which, you know, it makes a lot of sense. And one of their major worries was keeping the discount limited to IJ members, so I guess we'd need to have some sort of a verification system. I don't know if we'd just send them a roster and have them check off, you know, the last name or something, or what we do about that. But that's sort of, I guess, a problem that we would have after we get this off the ground. So.
Okay. Well, we'll have to look into that and see how that would all work. Good.
Mm-hmm.
Good work.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else from anyone? Any other reports on anything?
Okay. Is this the time to talk about the festival package that we had talked about, Kim? And then discuss whether we should put it up for a motion?
Oh, yeah. That's what I'm getting to now, are the motions.
Okay.
Motions for consideration. First want to talk about the motion we tabled from the last meeting, the motion to move to a tiered membership system. And we had talked about rewording this one. However, it's obvious from our discussion that we're not ready for this still. So we need, Martin, I need your help on this one, if you're still here. Are you still here? He must have left. Okay.
Who are you talking to, Kim?
Martin.
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, okay. Martin, we need to make...
I'm in the computer room and not paying a whole lot of attention. I'll be with you in a moment.
Okay.
Is this really even a motion anymore, Kim?
Well, it was tabled at the last meeting, so we either need to... to dismiss the motion or table it again. So... what would the board like to do? My suggestion is to dismiss the motion, but I believe we need a motion to do that.
Okay, I move to dismiss the motion.
Okay. That's
fine. I second that.
Okay, any discussion? Okay, anyone opposed? Any abstentions? All right, then this has been dismissed. Okay, could you remind me, please, who made that motion?
I did, Ken. Sorry.
Ken, that's okay. I'm trying to type and talk at the same time. It doesn't work. And Anthony, did you second?
The first time I've ever seconded anything.
Very good. All right. Thanks, guys. All right, the second motion... Anthony, do you want to make your motion?
Yeah, sure. I had sent an email out to I believe it was Board Plus about a guy in Brazil requesting a package for the national convention in Sao Paulo, and it would be basically a promotional package with for the IJA to possibly gain some new members. The what he's asking for is a banner to display during the convention, magazines for sale and to show, including old versions, an application to register new members, some sort of form to build a new like mailing list of potential members, which we could either offer to send the newsletter to or contact afterwards, and you know, just to talk to them. A small write-up explaining more about the IJA, which I would translate into Portuguese,
and then one IJA DVD to keep running during the convention. Basically, I move to, I would like to construct a motion that sends this stuff to them for their convention, but I would like to place a cap on the amount of money we spend on this, considering that it's going to cost something to ship it over there. So I guess my question to the board is, what level of contribution should we cap this at?
Well, we need to make the motion first, actually, to go into discussion on that.
Okay, fair enough.
So you can just make the motion to send IJA magazines, you know, and say that you want to set a cap.
I move to send a IJA promotional package to the international or to the Brazilian National Juggling Convention in Sao Paulo with a price cap.
10 seconds.
Okay. All right. Now we can discuss if we would like to do this, and if we do, what kind of dollar cap do we want to put on it?
Do we even have a banner?
No, that would be the one thing that when Anthony spoke to me earlier about this, a banner was the one request that we did not think we could do.
We do have a banner, and I have it, but we'd want to get it back.
I'd have to check to see how that would go over. I imagine that'd be possible. The contact that has agreed to actually receive the stuff is the owner of the the biggest juggling store in Brazil. So I believe David Landown had some nice things to say about him.
Well, if we could have a guarantee that we would get the banner back.
Well, something that I've held on to, I haven't told too many people. There is a good chance that I might be moving to Brazil on a permanent basis in the near future, so I could track it down.
Is it worth sending it back?
Sorry, what was that, Martin?
Is it worth having a banner there?
Like Kim said, it's something that we thought maybe might not be necessary. We might be able to get away with just a freaking piece of poster board, you know?
Poster board sounds good to me.
I think I agree with that.
We should probably figure out something that's sort of expendable so we could, like, instead of doing a banner, do something else like a poster board, but make sure it's replicatable so that we could send it to other festivals as well.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Without concerns of it not being returned, because, like, the banner we'd have to have back before the next festival. But if we had, like, a set of poster boards we could send out, then...
Well, I like that idea. For this festival coming up in early October and the fact that all this stuff would have to make it through customs, I would suggest that we ask the contact down there to create his own poster board. And then if we want to continue with, like, coming up with our own design for a poster board up here that we can use in the future, I'd support that. Because remember, this poster board needs to be in Portuguese.
Oh, right.
All right, so do we know...
We have high-resolution IJA logos we could send you, Anthony, and you could pass them on or use them, and that could be used for making any kind of poster you want.
Okay.
And I was going to suggest that we just let them know that they have permission to use our logo, you know, for this display.
Okay. The reason why I suggested putting a monetary cap on it is so that I don't have to say I move to send X number of magazines, this, so that we can kind of create a package within the budget that the board specifies, and then as long as it contains some of what he's asking for here, as long as it's under budget, it's okay.
Well, Kevin, do you have a suggestion as treasurer?
How big is the juggling festival?
good question. It is the national festival, and it is in a city of 20 million people. Other than that, I don't know how many jugglers there are in Brazil.
So I say, how about if we find out what their estimated attendance is?
Okay.
And then cap it at, say, 25 cents per person or something like that?
25 cents per person. Okay.
So if they say, I don't know how big their big festivals are, but if they have 400 people, that's $100. Is that... Do you think that sounds reasonable for getting stuff to them?
Want
to cap it. If they have 2,000 jugglers, you want to cap it at $100, or 25 cents a person, whichever is less, or something like that.
I'm honestly not sure how much the shipping is going to cost. Shite.
I say we get the basics knocked out. Like, we need a package of membership applications and do we have brochures? We have business cards, don't we?
And what's going to be in this package?
Some of the things that they're asking for, Martin, are some magazines for sale and some old versions of the magazine just to look at, an application to register new members, some sort of banner they asked for, but we took that out. Some way of building a mailing list, and a small folder or a small piece of paper with a description of the IJA, as well as one IJA DVD to keep running during the festival.
The membership form would need to be in Portuguese, and that we shouldn't be shipping any of those. I doubt we have any of those in stock.
No, I mean,
it's PDF on our website.
Exactly. Yeah. I can recreate it in Portuguese.
They can download it.
So you won't be mailing that.
All right, let's have one person talk at a time.
Yeah. It would only be the magazines and the DVD actually being shipped, correct? You would be able to just email the other articles and let them print off as many as they need? Can we do that?
I can suggest that. I believe that's probably a good idea.
If we
could
do that...
You can put one copy or two copies of the membership form in, and they can copy them if somehow they can't print them, but they're easily printable from the web.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, if we can do that, I think that if we put a cap of $100 on this, we may have enough. Just trying to find it online to see if I could see numbers.
How many magazines do they want? I mean, other than shipping, this isn't going to cost us much.
Okay. Then in that case,
stacks of magazines.
What's that?
We have stacks and stacks of magazines, which we don't sell, so those are easy to give away or to loan them to sell or whatever. The DVDs, we have the same, lots of them, and we'll never sell them off. So it's the shipping that's our real cost.
Right.
I assume that's not going to be $100 to Brazil.
Yeah.
Okay, then.
Go
ahead, Anthony.
In essence, we can send as many magazines DVDs as we would like to, provided we're under whatever the cap is that we say. The magazines are not really the cost we're worried about. We're worried about the shipping.
Right.
Okay. The city, I believe I heard someone ask, the city is Sao Paulo. It's S-A-O, Paulo.
How many, how heavy are, like, 10 magazines? Anybody know that?
Probably close to a pound.
All right, well, 1 pound to Brazil from the U.S. Postal Service. First class, $10. and it goes up from there, depending how fast you want it. That's 1 pound.
All right, so, yeah. Go ahead.
We don't have to send a huge amount down there.
If he wants to sell magazines.
Right.
I thought our contract prohibited that sort of retail sales on magazines.
I was just thinking that.
Yeah.
I mean, we should still send a few for display purposes.
Yeah, we can send them for display. I don't know if they have a raffle there, because we can give them away as raffles, too. They can be done as a giveaway.
Can we give them away, give away one free magazine to anyone who signs up as a member or something like that? I mean, is that possible?
I don't see why
not. We can bring them to the festival. They can do whatever they want with them.
Right.
Once they're out of our hands, we can't keep people from selling them.
Hmm.
All right, so we send them. We suggest that they raffle them off, but we don't follow up and check on them. Is that what we're saying?
Once we send them the magazines, it's pretty much theirs to do with what they want.
Okay, done. I'm okay with that. All right, then I say we send something like, 30 to 40 magazines. Is that reasonable?
I would think so.
Yeah, that's good.
Let's do, say, 10 of each issue for the past year.
That'd be perfect.
Five each issue for 2 years.
Well, we can sort of leave that in Sandy's hands as well, you know, depending on what she has more of.
Right.
Okay, so we want to set the dollar amount, not to exceed $100. Everybody in agreement on that?
Sure.
Okay. Okay. Is there any further discussion? If not, we'll go to the vote. The motion is to approve sending up to $100 worth of IJA magazines and DVD for viewing, along with the information sheets and membership forms. That would also cover the postage to be sent to the Juggling Festival in Brazil. All right. Is there anyone opposed to doing this project? Any abstentions? If not, it passes by unanimous consent.
And this is something that I'd like to start extending to other countries as well. I have a contact in China that's investigating the possibility of the same thing.
All right. Thank you, Anthony.
No problem.
So, all right. Under Varia, does anyone have anything for Varia tonight? I do have one thing, just so the rest of the board is aware, and Holly. We had been talking about the idea of offering a percentage of the profit from the fest for future fest directors, for the festival director for possibly 2011 and down the line, but had questioned the legality of that. Also, we had the issue come up in the past 2 weeks of providing a nonprofit umbrella for IJA affiliates. I contacted the Philadelphia Volunteer Lawyers for the Arts. This group of lawyers provides pro bono work for questions just like these. It does take them some time to get back, usually within 48 hours or so. I completed the application a few days ago online, and I did get a call from them today, and they said they have both of our questions. They talked to me for about half an hour. they are referring these questions to lawyers who are experts in these two areas, and we should be getting a call back within the next 48 hours with an answer as to whether it is legal for us to offer a percentage of the profits from a festival to our fest director, and whether we can umbrella a nonprofit or an IJA affiliate under our nonprofit without jeopardizing our 501c3. We should have the answers soon. I have spoken with Jeff from Berkeley about this as well, and he's willing to help us put something into place so that if another affiliate club ever has the same issue come up, that we can answer them quite quickly instead of having to get answers for them.
In the meantime, I've heard that Berkeley has another nonprofit supporting them.
They did get a local nonprofit group, but Jeff said he still wants to investigate this with the IJA as well, like I said, for future reference with any other group as well as theirs.
Well, I think that's great. I wanted to do this several years ago to hold a festival.
Mm-hmm. Well, with this lawyers group, hopefully we'll get our answer and we can put a policy in place where if any other IJA group or if it happens with Berkeley again, you can give them an immediate answer. Having to say, wait, we've got to find out if we can do this or not. So, but we'll have a legal opinion. Just so for future reference, this Philadelphia Volunteer Lawyers for the Arts, they are also willing to look over contracts. They will give you up to an hour of consultation time for each question that you might have. So if I do need to talk to one of the lawyers about, say, giving part of the proceeds, part of the profit from the fest to the fest director, I have up to an hour of discussion time with a lawyer to get all of the questions on that topic answered. And it's all free of charge. So I just wanted to make everyone aware of that. Is there anything else at this time? If not, it's time to schedule our next meeting. Bless you. And I do need to just make a comment that our next meeting, we may actually have to hold a meeting prior to our next meeting, specifically just for the magazine, just so everyone's aware of that. We'll give ample time. Our bylaws require, I believe it's 3 days, but we'll give you enough time so that we're sure everyone can make it. Third Wednesday in October is October 21st. Is that okay with everyone?
Yeah.
Yes. I think we're leaving. When are we leaving?
That's okay with me.
Okay with you? Okay. Anyone that it's not okay for?
That's okay with us.
Okay. All righty. Then the next meeting is October 21st, 2009 at 8 p.m. Eastern. We need someone to move for adjournment.
I move for adjournment. Ken.
Thank you, Ken. And we do need a second. Anybody?
A second. This is Kevin. Macbeth.
Yep. Thank you, Kevin. And anyone opposed? Any abstentions? If not, the meeting is adjourned at 9:38 p.m.
Night.
Thank you very much, everyone. Have a good night.
Night.
Good night.
Night.